Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC Monthly Conference Call on the 24th of September, 2013. The time is 15:04. No, what am I saying? 14:04 UTC. And the first thing we have to do is to adopt the agenda. You have a link to the agenda on the Adobe Connect. And we have to adopt the agenda, or if there is a call for any other business or amendments to the agenda. The floor is open. Seeing no one put their hand up, the agenda is adopted, and we'll go over to the roll call and to apologies.
Thank you, Olivier. Julia speaking. Welcome, everyone, to the ALAC monthly call on Tuesday, 24th of September 2013 at 14 UTC. On the call today, we have on the English channel Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Dev Anantilaxing, Holly Raish, Alan Greenberg, Tijani Benjema, Salanieta Tamani-Kaiwamaro, Evan Lebovich, Sandra Ofrechter, Jean-Jacques Subrena. We have Rinalia Abdulrahim, who will be joining us a little later. We have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Julie Hammer, Ariane Michal, Cyrano Shvardanyan, Eduardo Diaz, Roberto Gaetano, Maureen Hilliard, I'm sorry, and I see Leo Sanchez has just joined us. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero and Natalia Enciso. Our apologies for today, we have Sunilal. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, and myself, Julia Charvelin. Our interpreters today are, for the Spanish, Veronica and Sabrina, and French interpreters are Claire and Camila. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel and also to speak at a reasonable speed to allow accurate interpretation. Thank you, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Julia. I note that the audio in the Adobe Connect doesn't appear to be working, or at least does work, but the people are not able to speak. I'm not sure whether that's by design or whether that's an error. If you could get someone to fix that, please, whilst we start. But welcome, everyone, and we have a long agenda yet again on this day of the month, and we'll move directly over to agenda item number 3, the review of the action items from our last conference call that was on the 27th of August 2013. I'll just go through the action items which are yet to be done, which are still open. So if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you have open action items. And the first one that is yet to happen is Matt Ashtiani and Alan Greenberg to work on cleaning up the various mailing lists. I don't know if Matt or Alan, I know things are going on. Oh, I see the microphones have turned up on the Adobe page. So that's great. Yes, Matt, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Matt Ashtiani for the record. I recently asked Alan about this. He and I are going to have a call within the next week or so to finalize this, but it's about 80% complete.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt. I know Alan has been very busy, having seen him last week over in Washington, D.C. This can just wait until next month, I guess. Hopefully we'll be able to take this off. The next one is for Tijani and Benjamin. And
Olivier.
Yes.
It's Alan.
Alan, yes. Oh, your hand has gone up. Okay. Go ahead, Alan.
It has been for a while. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah.
The only changes that have to be made are things we noticed along the way that were improperly set, inconsistencies between the RALOs, requiring approval from staff for subscription when it isn't warranted, things like that. So there's some fixes that have to be made. They're not crucial. We've lived with them for years in most cases, but they will be done soon.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alan. And do bear with me because it looks as though sometimes the Adobe takes a little time for the hands to go up. So I'll be extra careful watching that. Now, the next one is for Tijani Benjamin and Eduardo Diaz to provide an update on the meeting strategy working group activities during the 27th of August ALAC call I believe that we have that tabled for later on today.
No, it is done, Olivier.
Yeah?
27th of August is already done. It was done.
Oh, that was the August one. Yes, that's right. Yes, you're absolutely right.
This action item has to be marked as done so that we will not get it for the next call.
Yeah, if I could ask staff to mark this one as done. That's great. Next is Alan Greenberg to complete required documents to allow the new rules of procedures to be put in place. Once that is close to complete, Chair will put a call for members of the Board Member Selection Process Committee, and that is something we are going to be speaking about shortly. So we can punt this to the agenda item itself on this call. And then we go to the next one, which is Matas Chani to work with. Yes, Alan.
Hand is up.
Go ahead, Alan.
Or it was up. Someone took it down.
Your hand is not up at the moment.
Well, it was up. The two things. The last document is the one describing the last board procedure and a little bit of this one. It will be out later on today. A vote will start almost immediately. It has been cleared by Cheryl, who sort of ran all the processes last time, and it should accurately report what happened last time, and that's the main issue. It's a historic document, largely. And the action, however, should be not only the BMSPC, but also the BCEC.
Okay, well, we'll look at this in agenda item number 8 shortly. And we'll have a quick, hopefully you'll give us a quick update on where we go from here. Next one. So this one we'll just keep open until next month. The next one, Matas Chani to work with David Antonik Singh and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. We tried... haven't managed to get too far with it so far. Dave, have you tried to test this out a little bit more?
This is Dave. Yes, indeed, I have. And just to say the results have been inconsistent. So more work has to be done and more testing has to be done on this. I do note that I've heard also that there's going to be an update to the Confluence Wiki. So I'm also wondering if that will also improve things in this regard. That's it.
Okay, thanks very much, Dave. I do hear you in sort of that not very good sound. I wonder, is my sound coming through okay?
Yes. Very slightly.
Can you hear me well, yes?
Very slightly distorted, but not much.
Okay, well, if it does get too bad, please shout out, and then we'll have a new dial-out taking place. Let's go to the newly assigned action items. And on this, Olivier is to begin speaking with RALO chairs on ALS decertifications, yet to be done, just one step at a time, I guess, and I will be starting this very soon and taking this up over with the RALO chairs and RALO leaders. As you know, there's also some new chairs coming in some regions and then some movements, so I'm taking time to move forward with this. Next, Matas Chani is to follow up with Jean-Jacques Subrenard on his recent vote activity. Ah, okay. Matt, has this been done? I believe it has. I see Jean-Jacques is on the call, and I've noticed that he has voted recently. Jean-Jacques Subrenard, you have the floor. Unfortunately, I can't hear you at the moment. Yes. Okay, a note from the chat that... this doesn't sound too good at the moment. Yeah, a note from the chat that I gather Matt has been in touch with you and problem settled and you have voted. That's correct. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I note that you had changed email address as well. So that might have been one of the reasons. Next, Carlos Reyes To follow up with Wolf Ludwig on the status of the Atlas II survey.
Olivia, this is Heidi. Can I speak for Carlos?
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
Yes, thank you. This is Heidi for the record, and Carlos has followed up with Wolf on that. And we are having the survey call in just a few hours, so we ask that all members of that group, as well as the capacity building working group, join that call. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. So that can also be marked as being done. And finally, Olivier and Alan auto-inform the ALAC when the ATRT2 documents are ready for review. They're not ready for review, so we haven't informed the ALAC yet. That's the action items. If anybody has any comments or questions on any of those action items. I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So I invite you all to now go to agenda item number 4, and that is the review of the current at-large structure applications. There is currently one application being voted on from AFRALO, that's the Internet Society Nigeria chapter, and I will invite Matt to take us through the other status of the other organizations that are currently being voted on or undergoing the accreditation process.
Sure. Hello, everyone. This is Matt Ashani for the record. Just to confirm, the current vote on 183, ISOC Nigeria, is in fact quorate. I cannot tell the results of the vote because it is anonymous and it is ongoing, but it is quorate. For the organizations that are currently undergoing the accreditation process, number 184, the Internet Society Somalia chapter. The due diligence is currently being carried out, so once completed, the application will move forward. Number 185, please excuse my French. The Federation Comoron de Comatours. Sorry about that, everyone. The due diligence is being carried out, and again, once it's been completed, we will move forward. Number 186, the Hispanic Educational Technology Services Foundation, which is based out of Puerto Rico. The due diligence on this is being carried out as well, and once completed, we will move forward.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's Olivier speaking. Very exciting to see so many applications for at-large structures at the moment. And seeing that we have now reached 158 at-large structures, as you know, we are being very careful these days with due diligence and with everything, and it's good to see more people who are getting involved. And if there are any representatives from new at-large structures currently on the call, and I know the list is very, very long indeed, then the list being the list of people on the call today, then welcome to you. And I guess that some people might also be listening. So any comments or questions on any of these applications? I see Tijani Benjema has put his hand up. Tijani, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. I don't know what the meaning of due diligence being carried out, because for the Internet Society Somalia chapter, the due diligence have been done by the staff, and it was transmitted to the region, to the RALO. We worked on it, and now we are about to give you the advice of the region. But for the Fédération Comorienne des Consommateurs, we didn't receive the due diligence, and yet we have the same comment, due diligence being carried out. So what is the exact meaning of this phrase?
Thank you very much, Tijani. Due diligence being carried out, that's what staff is basically doing, and cross-checking the application and doing a background check on the organization itself. So when it says due diligence being carried out, it's in the process of being carried out. Something is going on at the moment with staff, and they will then provide this over to the RALO. And it could be various different stages. So it could be a stage where they have just sent you the information, or it could be a stage where they are in the process or will be sending you the information. Perhaps staff can enlighten the process, enlighten you on the process. Heidi?
Yeah, Olivier, this is Heidi. I'm just looking for the process on our website, so I'll go ahead and put that into the chat in just a moment. But this is part of the process that has been agreed to, doing due diligence in the regional advice and then the ALAC vote.
Yes, yes. But what I want to say is for 184, this must be changed. Due diligence being carried out is not the truth. The truth is that the due diligence have been done by the staff and have been transmitted to the region, and the region is about to decide on this application.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, this is Heidi again. Okay, Tajani, I thank you very much. That was my fault. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tijani, for noting this. Any questions or comments? Seeing no one putting their hand up, let's go to the next agenda item, and that's our reports. Now, we have several pages pointing to reports from RELOs and from liaisons. It's, of course, very important that the RELO reports are up to date, because that often is the only and the first and only way that a new at-large structure, or even at-large structures that don't pay very close attention to the mailing lists, are able to find out what is happening in the region and catching up with things. So I do ask all of the RELO leaders to make sure that their reports are up to date. It's very helpful to catch up. Now, we also have liaison reports, and as is usually the custom, we ask for only the GNSO liaison report, the CCNSO liaison report, and the ESSAC liaison report to be summarized during this call. And as we have started today, I see on the page it starts with a GNSO liaison report. I guess I'll have to put Alan Greenberg on the spot first. Alan, you have the floor.
And you are putting me on the spot. We have a bad echo. Can someone look at that echo while I'm talking? Thank you. I am on the spot because I am backlogged on my reports. The last report should be posted soon. There is nothing explicit to call your attention to at this point, I believe. There's certainly a lot going on, and there's been a number of emails recently requesting participation in various groups, and that's basically business as usual. I don't think I have anything specific to report other than what I have highlighted via email.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Let's ask the CCNSO for the CCNSO liaison report. Let's ask Cheryl Lindenor.
Thank you very much. It's Cheryl for the transcript record. I'd love to cut and paste the link into the chat, but you're all going to have to follow it from the agenda. It has been updated recently. I make several updates a month. It's a continuous update system that I run for the CCNSO liaison report, but one of the notable things from exciting things that have happened this month includes the 139th member of the CCNSO will shortly be welcomed with Montenegro, that's .me, joining the CCTLD community of ICANN. So I think this is wonderful. When we looked at back a few years and we were doing a compare and contrast of the numbers we had in ALAC and at large and in the CCNSO, both organisations have grown from strength to strength. It's very exciting. The other thing that I might just mention, because it is of interest, from last month, you remember we had put together outside of a joint task group to try and further a joint CCNSO and ALAC meeting. The intention is to clearly have a joint CCNSO and ALAC meeting in Buenos Aires, but as yet the volunteers from CCNSO, other than staff, have not been identified. So unfortunately, that has not progressed any further. despite a couple of calls having gone out in the CCNSO list. So I'm sure that will be followed up on shortly, but I'm unable to report more on that aspect at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And we'll go to the next, which is the ESSAC liaison report with Julie Hammer, and then I'll open the floor for questions for any of our liaisons. Julie, you have the floor.
At one point, Julie said she couldn't talk.
It sounds like it, indeed. So Julie has indeed submitted a report, and I guess I can see out. Julie has been muted, so maybe she will be unmuted. Is she able to speak?
Can you hear me now, Olivier?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you. Not quite sure how clearly.
Thank you.
I'm particularly bad at the moment, but...
Okay, Julie, for the transcript, I had muted my phone, but it apparently hadn't worked. I have been traveling in the last month and haven't been able to participate in some of my ESSAC work parties, but there has continued to be a lot of work within ESSAC on in the last month has been the ESSAC comments on ICANN's initial report from the expert working group, which I know ALAC has commented on as well. So if you're particularly interested in that group, which is on the I'll just say I've put my report on the website. We've had the vote on the name collusion comments, and that's been approved, and there's currently a draft comment on the Board Risk Management Framework Working Group report from Westlake Governance, which I have drafted and which Olivier has added to, so that is currently out for vote. And I'll leave it at that if you're having trouble hearing me. Thank you, Olivier.
If Olivier is speaking, we can't hear.
And Olivier is on mute. That's why he didn't go too far. I can actually hear better now. I have some terrible connectivity problems at the moment. Just to thank you, Julie, for the your report. I know it's very hard sometimes when traveling throughout Europe, not being able to have the connection and internet connectivity, nor the time nor the mind to actually keep up with what's going on back on the ICANN wall. So thank you very much for having been able to keep up. Any questions or comments on any of our liaison reports? I don't see anyone putting their hands up, so I thank all of our liaisons, and of course I invite you all to look at the liaison reports that are taking place, that are on the wiki. There is one more liaison that we need to appoint, and that's the .mobile liaison. I had our staff to move forward with this. It doesn't look like it's happened this month, so hopefully we'll move on with that process from next month onwards. Because, as you know, the .mobi has been working back, basically. We've managed to get a hold of the of .mobi, and so we will have to appoint someone. Let's move to the next agenda item. And that's the new business and the items for decision. And that effectively looks at our policy development activities. Now, we have several recently adopted ALAC documents, and they are all linked. They are all linked to the agenda. I thank all of the people who have picked up the pen on these very, very much. We have received some replies with regards to the proposal to mitigate name collision risks. There hasn't been a reply yet, but I understand that there is going to be quite some follow-up with this, since the matter is gathering pace at the moment. It's a problem of different intermediaries, different judgments basically being rendered by different people on the same strings, and in some cases the strings are judged as being similar, and in others they're not visually similar. Quite a confused situation. Explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services model. That's of course the work of the experts working group. Comment on this. And so thank you. The next one is the community priority evaluation guidelines update from ICANN. That was a statement which was sent over to the Economist Intelligence Unit, who are the people that will be performing those evaluations. Thank you for having that comment. Now, we haven't had any feedback on this from the provider, but hopefully this will be taken into account. And then the rights protection mechanism requirements, that was adopted with 13 votes in favor. We haven't had a reply yet on this, but that, of course, was a public comment process. We have several statements currently being developed and reviewed at various stages of development. Let's go through them one by one. The first is the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and that's quite a long, ongoing discussion, whether things are policy or implementation. The ALAC is currently considering a statement. In fact, I did ask Alan Greenberg and Evan Nibovich whether they thought that a statement would be required on this. Perhaps I can ask Evan, since he's been following this quite closely, if there is something coming in that direction.
Hi, Olivia. This is Evan. I haven't worked on anything myself. I'm sort of two minds of whether or not we need to do a statement. At a matter of practicality, it's a matter of, will doing a statement at this time actually accomplish anything besides sort of putting a statement in the ground? So I guess part of what I'd like to do is come back here and ask if there's a need for that. To be honest with you, based on what I've been seeing, I'm not crazy about what I see, but at the same time, I don't know if putting a statement out is going to have much of an effect at this point.
Thank you very much, Evan. I see that Alan has put his hand up. Alan Greenberg?
Thank you. I think a very short statement is warranted, and the substance in my mind would be simply that regardless of what you call it, if decisions are being made which affect the community must be involved in those decisions. The crux of the matter is, and certainly in my mind, is that we've been using the term implementation to cover a variety of different phases. Some are truly implementation, nuts and bolts. Some are substantive, what we would call policy if it had been done at a different time in its life. And I believe we need to go on record as saying, regardless of the name, if there are decisions to be made, the community must be involved. That doesn't say exactly how they're resolved. It doesn't say what the name of the group is that does it. It simply says you cannot ignore the community in a bottom-up organization if there are substantive decisions that are being made which will affect that community. So I think a statement like that is warranted. I believe that goes that is in line with the thinking of at least some members of the group, and I must admit I was at an ATRT meeting last week and missed the policy and implementation meeting, so I'm not 100% up to date with what the current process is,
but I believe that kind of statement should be made. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see Cheryl's hand up. Olivier, we can't hear you again.
He's been dropped. I see it in the chat that he's tossed it to me. It's Cheryl for the record. Thanks for that, Alan. I want to just come in behind you absolutely with your proposal for a short statement, and indeed I'd like to encourage the OLAC, if at all possible, to respond to as many of the particular questions outlined as possible. This is kind of the same, only different, to the issue of whether or not you want to have formal representation on this work group. You've already decided you probably do not, but you do have people who are serving members of your ALAC on this work group, and you have other members of the at-large community that are on this work group, because GNSO work groups are, in fact, open. That said, this letter from the work group chairs is the same one as will be sent out, or has been sent out, to the chairs of all of the constituent or component parts of ICANN. And so this is not a public comment per se, this is a direct request for AC and SO input, and I think it would be a more than just a missed opportunity if ALAC decided to not at least address the questions raised. Thank you.
Hi, Al, this is Heidi. Adiko is calling, redialing Olivier at the moment, so just bear with us, please.
Matt has his hand up.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Matt Ashani for the record. Alan, to confirm, a statement on the policy and implementation working group is produced. Will you be holding the pen, or would you want somebody else to do so?
Oh, Evan and I will collude on it, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
I used that word properly, I believe.
Sounds right to me. This is Evan.
Just while Olivia's coming back, this is Cheryl for the record. It would be very useful if this could come in the next sort of fortnight-ish, I guess. We've got another meeting of this work group. I guess it's tomorrow now, anyway. It's Wednesday somewhere in the world.
I thought, Cheryl, I thought that the group was meeting every 2 weeks. Has that changed?
Yeah, but we're meeting this week instead of next week because staff are in a
retreat
next week. So there's an email out saying change of day and time. So we are in fact meeting this week and at a slightly later time because it suits some of the members. Yeah, everyone's blocked out every fortnight, but moving it back this week. So that's important, Alan.
Thank you.
And what it means is whilst this input won't be up for discussion and input this week, it would be great if it could be in the fortnight following, so it could be picked up at the future meeting. And I gather we've got Alan back and I can stop Olivier back and I can stop filibustering things.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and thanks for this discussion, which unfortunately I caught about two words from, so I'll have to probably catch up with it afterwards. I gather that Alan, Evan, and you are set on knowing whether there is a statement that is needed.
We have decided there was a statement that would be produced.
Okay, fantastic, thank you. And I see that Matt Ashtiani has put his hand up. Matt, you have the floor.
Sorry, that was from earlier. Let me put my hand down.
Okay, thanks very much, Matt. And apologies for the extended time it took to get me back, but I can hear a lot better now than before, so I hope the audio is okay with you as well. Shall we move on to the next one, which is the confusingly similar GTLD? That's one which there has been much discussion on, and the ALAC is currently voting. We should be getting at some point a reply. This is quite an important one.
I believe the vote officially ends today.
The vote officially ends today, yes, indeed. And I did speak to this. I received a call yesterday from Shireen Chalabi, the chair of the board GTLD program committee, and we briefly discussed this. I believe that today, later on this week, the board will be meeting, and the board committee on GTLDs will be meeting as well, face-to-face, and they will be discussing this. That will be one of their really important discussions. Next, drafting consultation on GTLD delegation and redelegation, user instructions, and source of policy and procedures. There is one for the GTLD delegation and redelegation, and there's one for the CCTLD delegation and redelegation. Cheryl Langenoir has provided a first draft for the CCTLD, and the ALAC is commenting on this. And for the GTLD delegation, we're waiting on a note from Alan, whether a statement or something is required on this. Alan?
I have not gotten to it. If someone thinks it's really important, someone else should look at it. I will not be able to get to it till the end of this week, pending completion of a long list of ATRT deliverables.
Okay, thank you. We'll be putting it on the side. I think that the initial comment period ends on the 1st of October, if I have that correctly. Yes, 1st of October. Do you think you might be able to produce something before the first five days? Well, that is the end of the week.
I'll certainly make a comment as to whether one is needed or not by then.
Yeah, if you could check on that. Thank you. I see Cheryl Langdonor with her hand up. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. Cheryl, for the record. Just where you've got Alec commenting on the CC one, a little concerned that we'll get too far behind if you don't move that into voting now. We've received comments, and I've certainly incorporated all the comments that came in. Not that they were many, but I have incorporated them all. And as you requested, done a general tidying up of it. So from my perspective, the text is there. All comments have been incorporated. And it only needs, the ALAC could vote on it as soon as possible based on the fact that the usual preamble and ending will be put on by staff once you've gone yay or nay to it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Cheryl. Yes, looking at the page for the policy development, the vote is set to open today and will close on the 29th of this month, with the date of submission of the 30th. So that's well in hand. Thank you. Any comments or questions? No? So we can continue. There's the DNS Risk Management Framework report, and the ALAC is voting on this. In fact, I think that the vote is in the process of finishing on this. Is that correct? No, that closes on the 26th. So there are a couple more days left to vote on this. So anyone in the ALAC members who have not voted yet, please have a good read of this. Julie Hammer, Alejandro Cazanti, and myself have collaborated on this and came out to be quite critical of the report, which was drafted by the consultants. And there is going to be some follow-up on that probably afterwards if ICANN decides to continue focusing on the wider ICANN risks or focusing on the DNS risks. Big question on this. And, of course, there is soon going to be a letter received by the ALAC from the DNS Security and Stability Analysis, the DSSA, working group, which is going to ask whether it should continue its work or whether it should stop its work. That's coming within the next couple of weeks as a heads up for everyone here. Now, I'm looking at the next and last on the list here is the statement on the World Conference on International Telecommunication Outcomes. ALAC is drafting the same really as myself having to draft a statement. That's still pending at the moment. There's a lot more, a lot going on several different levels, both on the ITU side of things, but also with various organizations that are now collaborating to try and perform quite a lot of diplomacy with developing countries and with those countries that have been signing the WCIT documents. So this one, I think, we'll just keep to the side for the time being. Any questions or comments from anyone regarding any of these statements? I see Evan has put his hand up. Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan. Olivier, regarding that last one about the WCIT, can I suggest that we drop it from the open items rather than keep punting it?
No need to emphasize it, Evan.
Wow, he knows how to emphasize the point.
You've emphasized the point extremely well, Evan. I was going to say no, but now that you've used this reverb system and said it a few times, I'm convinced.
So, if only I could conjure that on demand.
For those people who are listening to us on the French and on the Spanish channel, when Evan said, keep punting it, it was repeated a few times by the system. So that's why it sounded very strange. Anyway,
essentially what I was trying to say is, since WCIT, this has been on the agenda and it is being deferred, clearly you have plenty on your plate. Clearly there have been many opinions expressed by the WCIT. You and Avery and others engaged in a really very, very good webinar that offered a debrief on the issues. Can I suggest, in part for your own sanity and those of staff, that we just drop this from the agenda? It's now some time since WCIT. If anything, we probably need to start looking forward to future ITU deliberations, and maybe this is something that rather than just keep bringing it back on the agenda, that we just drop. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. And is anyone on the call objecting to dropping this? I don't see anyone putting their hand up to object. I see plus ones. I see that Jean-Jacques said it's also too late now regarding WCIT. It is true that it has been a while and things have moved on. I think that at some point, because I am involved also with the British government on the follow-up to the WCIT, I probably will have to update this group with an update of where we are now, what is going on in Geneva, and the various meetings that are coming up. As you know, there is also the IGF that is coming up in a few weeks' time. That's not directly related to the WCIT, that's also in the wider governance agenda, and perhaps we would need to have, maybe after IGF, a little update for during one of our future ALAC calls. An update on the wider internet governance agenda. That would probably be an interesting thing for everyone who is here. Because, as we know, we are all part of this internet multi-stakeholder governance space, or universe, as we would say. That's the agreement from Holly. And so thank you, Evan, for this. That certainly is one less thing on my plate. So we can take that off the agenda. Thank you. Now, currently open public comments. I was reading this, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on here. Then I looked at the actual public comment page, and it looks as though we are very much in synchronization with the request for public comments. There doesn't appear to be any additional ones that we haven't dealt with yet, that we haven't decided on. Yes, so I'm sure that there are some more which will be coming soon. In addition to those requests for public comments, there is also As you know, the policy development early engagement workspace, which provides us with a forecast of upcoming public comment requests. And as far as I see at the moment, I don't see any of them that are that are basically going to take place in October or later. At the moment, the latest ones are for August. I'm not sure, Matt, whether you are aware of anything that's not on that page.
All right, this is Matt Ashiani. For the record, no, I'm not aware of anything right now that should be on that page.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. So any questions or comments on any of our policy development activities at the moment? Now's the time to put your hand up. I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so let's move on to the next agenda item, and that's the call for membership of the at-large group to endorse the at-large members on Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Group. Now, this is an interesting agenda item because originally there was a call for candidates to be in this Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Group, and that was an ICANN-wide activity, and the different SOs and ACs were supposed to be ratifying or endorsing the candidates. Now, it appears that this follow-up activity was actually somehow a bit of an error from ICANN, because the review would only have to take place after 1 year. What would be needed right now is an implementation group, which instead of reviewing the work that was done, would actually be looking at the work of the Consumer Trust Working Group, the GNSO Consumer Trust Working Group, and the ALAC statement, which provided more metrics that we wanted to have, and turn this into implementation and look at the feasibility of the implementation. So that working group did not need to have ALAC endorsement of candidates, and so we're kind of left in a position where people are able to go and go and apply directly over to that working group. However, what I do think, though, is there are some people who are particularly suited to be in that working group because they have taken already part in the first part in the GNSO working group itself. And I'm speaking specifically of Evan Leibovich, for example. And I wondered whether we could, instead of having an actual group to endorse members, but whether we could actually just send a note to the selectioners for this working group and emphasize the importance of Evan Leibovich and any others who have been involved in the first part of the work to be part of that working group if this is their desire. I think I have explained it. I hope I haven't confused everyone on this. Evan, you wish to add a couple of words on this?
Oh, hold on just a moment. Sorry about that. Essentially, I've been involved with this very deeply from the start. As you know, I've been involved with the response that has essentially indicated that what the GNSO did on its own wasn't sufficient, and I appreciate the ALAC support in helping us draft some new end-user motivated metrics. I have a concern that as this goes forward to implementation, that the same influences that tried to keep this out of the GNSO working group are now going to try and keep this out of the implementation phase. So it's very, very important that the at-large have a very important voice as we go forward in this. I had already expressed my intention when this was a formal review group that was along the lines of the AOC mandate. I'd put my application forward to, I believe it's Alice Jensen, was the ICANN staffer in charge of this, complete with a statement of interest and so on. And so after that, ICANN changed the rules, said that they were splitting this into two different groups, one that was going to essentially implement the metrics that were set out by the working group, and the other one to come back 1 year after the rollout of the TLDs and to actually start collecting the data from the metrics and reviewing them. So this has been split into two things. The first part of the group, that is the initial one, as Olivier said, no longer requires ALAC endorsement, but I think I certainly appreciate having one anyway. It's my understanding that Carlton has also indicated an interest to participate, even if he's not on this call. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan, for this quick update. And so the question I was just going to ask the ALAC, because we did choose last, during our last ALAC poll, we chose to have a process where we would have a small selecting committee that would be endorsing the members that were applying for the review team, very much like the ATRT2. This time around, of course, now that things have changed, I just wanted to ask the ALAC whether we would just be okay with, as a group, to specifically endorse Evan as the one individual who absolutely needs to be on that working group, and then with everyone else, whoever else wants to apply, they can apply to the address which has been provided in the update, which was posted over to the ALAC announce mailing list. And you can all send your candidateship if you want to go. I don't know whether there is a maximum number of members that are able to be there. What's important, though, is that because this is a real critical amount of work that will lead to the implementation of these metrics, people who decide to go for these positions and actually engage in the working group have to engage in the working group. It's not a case of just saying, yes, I want to be on there, but I can't make any of the calls, or I will not be able to travel if the working group meets face-to-face, et cetera, et cetera. It's an important part of ALAC outward-facing work. And I therefore hope that people who will take this up will be able to carry through with their application and will be able to actually perform the work. It's not for the lighthearted. I think there will be possibly twice a week calls. I'm not exactly sure of the work schedule, but it's somehow quite a compressed schedule due to the fact that really all of this stuff should have been ready by yesterday, and it isn't at the moment. So there's a lot of important work to be done in that. Cheryl Engenor.
Thank you, and Chair, for the record, but I just want to follow up on what I think you were making a very important point there. We need to make sure that, and this is specifically from an ALAC perspective, obviously, ALAC at large perspective, that we all have to recognise that whoever's in the room on this implementation phase is going to just have to do their best to build consensus and reflect the published views of the ALAC and its, the processes that it went through independently of the GNSO work group as well. The reason I'm saying that is that, yeah, sure, it's a hell of a lot of work to do in a small amount of time, but not only will you have the competing interests at the table, you'll have the very real limitations of literally what can be collected in a timely manner, and there'll be a lot of desirables that will just have to get ditched because of the lateness of it. So it's not even going to be a philosophical argument. It's going to be a brutal and probably painful experience. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I note that Evan has said that Carlton was interested in this as well. So I guess, Carlton, you just arrived on the call. There was going to be a selection by an ALAC selection or at-large selection committee. That's not going to take place now because it's the group has been changed from a review team, an RT, to an actual working group. And there's no endorsement of candidates as such. but I was going just to suggest that the ALAC would send a note to the selecting committee, which is on that generic internet address, email address, and basically endorse just Evan specifically as someone to have to be on this working group, since he has been a key component of the follow-up that the ALAC have made with the statements that we have sent to the board on the matter. So I'm asking for anyone with any objections. I see Cheryl has her hand up still.
No, Cheryl's hand is
good. Okay, Alan Greenberg?
Yeah, do we know who's doing the selection on this?
I don't personally know. Maybe we could ask staff.
Okay, and it doesn't really matter. My only concern is Evan has a long history in this and may be viewed by some as going into this with preconceived notions. That is, to try to make sure that the same problems don't happen with this group as happened, as certainly in his mind, with the GNSO group. And I think if we can phrase this such that he is not viewed as a... an obstacle to getting closure and agreement, we're going to be better off. Am I making myself clear?
You are making yourself clear, Alan. But I'm a little concerned that being accused of being someone who has preconceived ideas on this. I think that a lot of people have preconceived ideas, and other SSOs and ACs also have preconceived ideas,
well,
and individuals in those SSOs and ACs also do. So this is just to make sure that Evan will be on that working group. I'm not sure whether it's a working group with a maximum number of people from each SSO and AC, and I do hope that there will be more than just Evan coming from at large. I hope that we'll have 20 more candidates who will be active participants in that working group.
Yeah, all I'm saying, Olivier, is that anything you can do in this note to offset what may be preconceived notions on the part of the selectors would be useful.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. I think what we'll do is to word this in a way, as you mentioned, word it in a way that will say that that we'll take this into consideration. That's fine. Carlton Samuels?
Thank you, Olivier. Carlton, for the record. When you recall that when I this thing came up earlier, I endorsed Evan, and I said in the endorsement, I am willing to help Evan in this. It was that calculation that Alan just spoke about that made me put it that way. Because while I was very sure that Evan would be the best person, I wanted to have a backstop to Evan so that we would push back on any attempt to isolate him. That was this consumer trust issue has a long, grievous path. And Evan's been vocal. I've always supported his positions on that. And that is why I said we should endorse Evan, but I would be available to second him, precisely because, in my mind, the people who have been so vocally against his position would try something like Alan suggested. And that's why I offered myself as a backstop to help him. So, in other words, I'm carrying spear with Evan. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And so I just to remind you all, have to send your application to that email address directly. So, Carlton, I hope that you've done that, but you will do this in the next few days.
Yes, I will do that.
That's great. Thank you. Evan Nibolich?
Hi. I guess my only response to what Alan has said is, yes, if it's a matter of wording the letter of recommendation in such a way that people are not put off by it, that's great. On the other hand, if the issue is, would I be an obstacle to getting things done, I would simply suggest that You know, in the first working group, people would argue I was an obstacle in getting things done simply by asserting having at-large metrics in there. If the issue is, you know, the expedient way of doing it is doing away with the at-large metrics, and I'm the obstacle to that because I want to have some end-user-centric metrics in there, you know, people may consider that a bad thing. I guess I don't. But
I consider that a good thing.
I'd be very, very careful. I'd be very, very careful about saying, you know, our main goal is going in not to rock the boat. If the intention of this implementation group is to strip out the implementation of all the things that were put in by policy, I think that's a problem. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I clearly what I said was somewhat misinterpreted. I think the issue is the people on this group are going to have to make decisions. Compromise is may well be part of that. Coming up with, as someone said, Cheryl or Olivier said, not only things that will give us numbers we want, but things that are in fact measurable and achievable, you know, in a reasonable way as we go forward, and anything we can do to not make it seem like Evan may be going in you know, with a rigid set of outcomes should be countered. Evan is a rather intelligent person who can change his mind and change and work out compromises when things can't be put forward. We've seen plenty of that over the last, you know, while, and I think we just need to make sure that that's clear if we can do that. I have no worry about whether Evan can do that. I know he can. The question is to make sure that we don't have perceptions because of history that may be incorrect. That was all I was trying to say.
Thanks very much, Alan. And I think we can pretty much put this matter to rest and move on to the next agenda item, which is the next steps for the at-large board member selection. And Alan Greenberg is going to take us through this process.
Oh, is he? Okay. We are about to kick off the process for our new for the selection of the at-large board member. There is one step left before we have all the rules in place, and that should, as I mentioned earlier, is the one of the adjunct documents describing the details of the of the selection process, essentially a historical document to a large extent, with a little bit of looking forward because of problems that were raised during the first process. We have significantly more time than we did last time, but nevertheless, the schedule is going to be very tight because there are some things that we want to clearly decided we want to have more time to allow for than we did before. Therefore, we need to start the process soon. There are two committees that need to be created to allow the selection process to go forward. One has the unwieldy title of the Board Member Selection Process Committee, the BMSPC. That is a group that essentially oversees, on behalf of the ALAC, the overall selection process. The first task of that group, and one of the more critical ones, is to set the timeline for how the process will unfold. And there are a lot of constraints because of the details of the process that it will have to consider. That group is composed of, and I'll quote, is a regionally balanced committee with typically populated with no fewer than two representatives from each region selected by both the ALAC and the RALOs. The rules of procedure are not exactly prescriptive as to how that is done, whether the RALO selects one and the ALAC selects one, or it be done as a communal task that we need to make a decision on quickly. And the ALAC has the choice of either naming a chair or may instruct the BMSPC to select a chair from amongst members. My personal preference is that the ALAC select a chair, just because ultimately it's an ALAC responsibility to make sure this group functions properly, but that's not my call. The second group is the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee. For those of you who were around 4 years ago, you'll remember that the BCEC calls for expressions of interest, similar to what the NOMCOM does, evaluates them against the criteria that it decides on, and it one of its tasks is to quickly finalize this set of criteria that we're publishing, come up with an initial slate of candidates that will be voted on by the electorate. That group consists specifically of two delegates selected by each of the RALOs, plus a chair selected by the ALAC. In the last go-around, I believe the chair was a non-voting one. One of the recommendations from that last BCEC is that the chair be given either a vote, which can be cast if necessary, or allowed to cast an extra vote to ensure that ties can be broken. But that's all in the adjunct document and discussed there in great detail. So essentially, we have two tasks ahead of us, the ALAC does. One is jointly with the RALOs to select a BMSPC. The other is to select the BCEC. Both of those, the most critical one initially is the BMSPC because it has to set the timeline. And that's going to be a relatively difficult job, but it has to be completed relatively quickly. And in looking at an arbitrary timeline, not necessarily the one that will be followed, but the one to start the process going, we're assuming, Cheryl and I have assumed, that the both committees will be able to start working no later than the next ALAC meeting. That is, the selection has to be ratified by the ALAC no later than the next ALAC meeting. And if it can be done earlier, so much better. I think that's all I can think of to say, but I can certainly answer any questions if necessary.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Just when you say the next ALAC meeting, the next ALAC face-to-face meeting, is that correct? The Buenos Aires meeting, or do you mean the next ALAC call?
I meant the next ALAC call.
It would be way too late if it was Buenos Aires.
Say that again, Cheryl?
It would be way too late if it was Buenos Aires.
Oh, yes, correct. Sorry.
Okay.
The next ALAC call a month from now is about as long as you can wait. If you can get the BMSBC agreed on somehow
before that
would be better.
Yeah, that was exactly the gist of my question, effectively, because you said the next ALAC meeting, so that's why it could be misinterpreted. Okay, we do have a question from Eduardo Diaz. Eduardo, you have the floor.
Yes, this is Eduardo for the record. This is a question for Alan, and it's just a confirmation that the people that eventually participate in these two committees cannot apply to be, you know, a candidate to
correct.
To become a member, right?
That is correct. And yes, certainly. No one who is named to these committees can put their name in to be a member. Cheryl, I vaguely recall, but I don't see it in front of me right now, that there is a prohibition for any member of the BCEC being a member of the electorate. But I don't actually see that in the rules.
Actually, it isn't, because that's the discussion that happened during the post-mortem. So it would be up to the BMPSC to propose that to the BCEC to operate that way.
That's problematic. We're trying to name them in parallel.
I understand that, but it's... how we built it.
Let me check on that, and I'll see if I can send out a note on that one quickly.
Oh, we can run them in parallel, which would be ideal. And then it would be, they could adopt that suggestion, and then it would be from meeting number one or number two of the BCEC that's the case.
The only problem is we don't know who the electorate will be at this point. Are all ALAC members are set? Are all chairs, RALO chairs, determines
the all their nominees.
Okay.
And it's there where we have the option, because if you were a RALO chair and you chose to put yourself in with an expression of interest, then you would simply have to hand the actual voting rights to someone else in the region.
Well, but you can't put your name in if you're on the VCEC, so that
you were talking about the electorate,
about the electorate.
Not the VCEC,
okay.
Alan.
I have to check if that's allowed. We're allowing a number of...
the VCEC, that's clear. You cannot.
Yeah.
All right.
Could I just... it's Olivia speaking here. Could I just... because I see there is a discussion going on between the two of you, Alan and Cheryl, but is it possible for you to put this in writing by any chance so that
it kind of clears up the questioning here? Yes, Cheryl. Yes, Olivier, it will be put in writing.
Okay, thank you. I see Tijani has put his hand up. I'm not quite sure whether he had a question specifically on this.
Hello?
Yes, Tijani. Yes, Tijani, we can hear you. Tijani Benjamin, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It was to discuss with Cheryl and Alan about being on the BCEC and submit an SOI. It's forbidden, for sure.
Absolutely.
But since they will put it in a written manner, it's better to save time and let it go as they will write it, and then we will discuss it. Thank you.
Okay, there are some questions asked on the chat. Carlton asks, would there be a difficulty with an ALAC member sitting on the on either group? There is no prohibition about that.
Encouraged.
And in fact, it is very important, among other things, to have some continuity from the last one, because this is a difficult process, and a whole bunch of people who have never seen it before and are just trying to divine it from the written word would have significant problems. And because of the importance of the process, I think last time we believed some ALAC members should be participating.
Alan?
Yes?
Alan, I think that last time nobody had any experience and it went well. So we don't have to restrict or to make restriction for newcomers or people who have never participated. So
I don't believe
for everyone. Okay.
Olivia, Tijani, I didn't make any restriction. I'm just giving an opinion, and Cheryl, who ran both of those committees, is probably in a better position to give an opinion than I am, that some experience and certainly knowledge of the overall environment is going to be important. But I'll let Cheryl speak on that. Carlton asked the question, Dave asked the question, can you sit on both? And the answer is, don't believe there is any prohibition.
Correct. Yes, you can, but you have to be a regional rep because there's no ALAC as such on the BCEC, other than if the ALAC chooses to appoint a chair voting or non-voting.
Cheryl, there is no prohibition in the rules about ALAC members being on the BCEC.
It says two members from each region and a chair selected by the ALAC. Saying you have to declare yourself clearly as a regional representative.
Oh, yeah, yes, but that doesn't... Sure. I don't think there's any prohibition from an ALAC member being one of those regional representatives. Right. Certainly in the rules there is no prohibition.
Yeah, well, they'd have to live with their region, but yeah.
Sure. It's Olivia speaking. I'm going to take control of this situation again now. It's great to listen to you speak, but I must say, I'm not getting confused. I understand what you're talking about, but it would probably be better to have a quick summary of definitely the restrictions on whether you can be a member both of the BMSPC and the BCEC, whether you have to be an ALAC, non-ALAC, regional lead, etc., and whether you're entitled to vote when you're on either of these working groups.
I will summarize those for you. I will summarize those for you and make sure that Cheryl buys into it.
That's great. Thank you, Alan. And let's make this an action item, please, that Alan will be providing an explanation as to what is allowed, what is not allowed, and how to what these members of the BMSPC and the BCEC can do. And that will be passed by, I can see Alan in Seattle. Fantastic. Right, let's get a move on, and let's go to the next agenda item, and that's the Who Is and Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Working Groups. And we need a quick update on these first. Basically, the two working groups kind of met in a joint meeting in the last meeting in Durban. And they have not merged as such, but you do have Who Is Working Group workspace, which Carlton Samuels is leading, and we've got a Registrant Rights Working Group, which Holly Reich is leading. I understand that they met together in Durban. The question is really whether the ALAC would like to merge these two working groups together. Now, there are some advantages to doing so, and there's some inconvenience to doing so, and I can certainly think the advantages being that a lot of the work both working groups work on is actually very much works in parallel with each other, so you do have some duplication of work, etc. The inconvenience, of course, is that we have made these working groups so that they all start working on specifics of the new GTLDs and of the ICANN workspace, and just merging the two together might make it a very large chunk of work that this working group needs to deal with. So the question is whether the ALAC wishes to merge them or not merge them. And I guess I can let I see Evan has put his hand up, but I first wanted to hear from Holly and from Carlton with their point of view on this. So I'm not sure if Holly is able to speak at this time.
I am. Thank you very much.
Holly, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. The reason that the two of us got together, as you know, the big changes in the RAA were endorsed by the board at the end of June. So much of what used to be years ago the RAA group was largely subsumed, I suppose, in the Who Is working group, but the Who Is largely concentrated on changes to the RAA that actually improved, from an ALAC perspective, some of the rules and surrounding Who Is. The only, I suppose there are two bits still left open that are of interest to ALAC. One is, I suppose, the adequacy of the registrant's rights document that was passed by the board, but it's a sheet for users. It was never actually talked about, and there's probably a piece of work that says a larger educational issue about is that enough and what else might be said, given that we've got a new RAA, at least a revised RAA. The other piece of work really is compliance, but to my mind, those are the really two outstanding bits of work left from the RAA that have not been addressed by the amendments that were passed by the board. Now, the other piece of work, and Carlton can speak to this, is the EWG, which was set up to just start from square one, to rethink all of the surrounding sort of Who Is data, how is it gathered, how is it stored, how is it accessed. It was the board's way of saying we're going to look at Who Is in two ways. One is to look at the RAA and simply compliance with an updated RAA, but then to step back and think, can we do this in a better way? So in fact, there's sort of two parts of the same thing, which is why Carlton and I sat and had a joint meeting, if you will. Now, because the two issues are so related, it may make more sense to have the work being done under one rubric. I can understand why that may be difficult, but certainly what Carlton's doing and what is the leftover work from what used to be the RAA team are very similar. So, Carlton, do you want to have a couple of words on that one as well?
Yes, Holly. This is Carlton for the record. I'm endorsing what Holly said earlier on as to, you know, give you a kind of layout of where we are and why we got to where we are. There are a couple of things I might wish to add, though. One, if you look at the WHOIS issue as a part of the RAA 2013, it is subsumed in the registrant's rights and responsibilities, which we have always championed. I take note to note that they now talk about registrant rights and benefits, and that certainly changed. Just the use of that term changes the
outcome. Registrant benefits and responsibilities, not rights and benefits,
yes.
Carlton.
Thank you, Olivier. Registrar's benefits and responsibilities. That changed the outlook totally. but you know, it's serious. When lawyers change words like that, Holly's a lawyer, she can tell you. It means something. And so when we looked at it, we thought, okay, if we began to kind of harmonize what we were doing, it would be more powerful, and it made, because there were so many areas where we butt up against each other in the RAA, it would have been much more useful and probably more productive if we went at it as a single group. And while we might have different responsibilities in the group, we believe that this holistic kind of approach to the two subjects would benefit both groups, and that was from what we saw. With respect to the EWG, and this is again where we believe it would come out even more forcefully in later on. The EWG, the way the group is cast is for us to create a framework for next generation registration data services, and you know, do a rethink of the entire WHOIS construct. But increasingly, we are seeing that it's butting up against rule of law and related to contracts and contractual obligations, that it actually eclipses the larger issue, which is the registrant's rights or benefits, whatever you want to call it. And so the EWG output is intended to be a PDP for the GNSO. That is how it's constructed. And we feel that now that the WHOIS, from myself on the WHOIS side, is actually invested in the EWG's work and looking at the additional issues from the RAA 2013, especially the specification. A couple of the specifications are going to be very active and coincident with this WHOIS or next generation registration data initiative. When Ali and I looked at it, we thought it would be beneficial, again, even looking at what the output is from EWG, to have a single working group. We can construct it and put different buckets, but I think it would really be beneficial for the at large if we had a single working group that was looking at registrant rights and responsibilities, the WHOIS structure, especially now that they're talking about registrant benefits and responsibilities.
Thank you very much, Carlton. I see Evan Nibovich and Alan Greenberg in the queue. So, Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. I want to add a couple of things. First of all, I think I was involved in part of the push to try and merge it, and some of this came from a totally practical recognition that the membership of the two existing working groups is, I'd say, at least 90% in common. So essentially you have the same people in both groups, the same people that have the interest in all these issues that basically go to the overlap that Carlton and Holly have been talking about. So at a purely practical issue, it's essentially the same bunch of people that have this interest. So it probably makes more sense in that sense from a totally practical matter to have this all subsumed within a single working group. I would also want to add that there's actually a third component to this that hasn't been mentioned, and that is, at least it was my hope, and I don't know if Carlton and Holly agree, but I think originally one of the intentions also is that this would be the focal point of the ongoing at-large monitoring of ICANN's compliance functions, which is essentially something that has been in the under the Future Challenges Working Group until now, but not really appropriate for that. Compliance is essentially, you know, looking back and enforcing what's already been done. There's not a whole lot forward-looking about compliance. So it was also my thought and my suggestion that some of the work, notably the work that Garth has been spearheading on making sure that ICANN not only has these regulations in place but enforces them properly, would also be handled by this working group. And as a final thing, I would also note that as you recall, it was me that stood up at the Durban Public Forum and asked Fadi why the wording had been changed from rights to benefits. He had no answer. They stumbled around for a few minutes. He said he'd be back to me. Here we are some time after the Durban meeting, and I can confirm that there has been no answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
I think I can shed some light as to the name change, although I'm not in a position to guarantee this was the rule. This was what I was told, and it makes complete sense. In the existing previous RAA, there was a reference to a document called, and I quote verbatim, Registrant Rights and Responsibilities, Registrant Rights Responsibilities, which was a document that came out of the GNSO ALAC work group from several years ago, if you remember. And the wording is, if ICANN comes out with such a statement, which they did with our help, registrars would point to it. Completely separate from this, the new RAA negotiations ended up with one of the specification documents called the Registrants' Rights and Responsibilities. Notice the only difference was one had an S on registrant, one did not have the S.
Yes.
And my understanding is right near the end of the negotiations, someone realized that they had two virtually identical names for two different things. And someone in a botched sort of way changed one of them to change the new one, the only one they could easily change, to benefits and responsibilities instead of rights and responsibilities, and didn't do a particularly good job of it because it was changed only in the title. That's my understanding, not confirmed yet by staff, but I think it was less nefarious than some people are making of it. Simply because there was a duplicate name that no one had noticed in the months and months of negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And certainly there was a very short discussion that took place during ATRT2 about this question of registrant rights name and header on the chapter being changed to registrant benefits. It was interesting to see that Steve Crocker was not quite, didn't quite know what had happened, and there was a bit of a confusion around the table as to why this was changed. I note that Evan has asked in the public forum for an explanation on this. There doesn't seem to have been one. I was going to ask whether the RAA working group, which might be merged with the WHOIS working group to make it the regulatory issues working group, whether this working group would be able to produce a statement that we send over to the board to request a clarification on this, because certainly on that one page of the RAA, which at the end of the day is a legally binding document and contract, and I would have thought is a particularly important document since it is the document that will be signed by all new registries, all new applicants for new GTLDs, that page has got registrant benefits and responsibilities as a header, and right underneath that it has two subsections. One is registrant rights, and a registrant benefit is not a registrant right. Which one of the two headers supersedes the other, etc., etc., is a big question mark here. I would like some clarification, and I hope that others in this community would like clarification as well. Certainly, we haven't received an answer yet. Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
Oh, sorry, forgot to remove my hand. I was simply making the case that this is much a matter to me of Fadi's failure to follow up on a commitment at the public forum as it was on the substance of this. Alan, your answer is probably right, but without being able to officially attribute it to a source such as Fadi, as you say yourself, you're not even sure if it's totally correct. It sounds reasonable, but I really, the problem right now is that we have a right to something definitive. Thanks.
Thank you, Evan. Holly Rush?
Yeah, I have never liked the change in words, because in fact, if you look at what's been done, all that's happened is that the obligations that are enforceable on registration do amount, in fact, to something that is contractually, now, before we get into third-party beneficiaries and this sort of thing, it is something that registrants have a right to expect, and by downgrading it, by putting it to benefit, you completely change the message that's being sent. So I'd certainly like to keep in our name for what it is, it's registrants' right to responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. So the question is really, is there a change? Was this botched? Is this done on purpose, or is this a case of someone having messed up somewhere along the way? I would like to see a statement out of this. I hope that others in the ALAC would be able to agree to this, and that we can request formal clarification on that, perhaps following on from the question that we did ask during the public forum.
I'm sure.
Does anyone object to this?
100% for.
Okay, so no objection on that. That's an action item. I see Alan Greenberg. Put your hand up. Alan?
Yeah, something just dawned on me. A lot of contracts, and I don't know if the RAA is one of them, has a clause saying the titles of sections are not part of the agreement. I'd be curious to know whether there is such a clause in this agreement, in which case the title doesn't count at all and it's still registrant rights. But I will point out we seem to have two different conflicting sets of rights. I haven't compared them up, held them up to the light to see how different they are. It might be interesting to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So that's one we have a consensus on. So we will have a Evan Leibovich to follow up with Fadi Shehadeh. I'm not quite sure how Evan will follow up with Fadi Shehadeh, because it was Steve Crocker that told him that there was going to be an answer from the board on this. I don't think it was Fadi that said this.
No, it wasn't Fadi.
Yeah, it was Fadi, Olivier.
Was it Fadi?
Yes. Essentially, okay. What happened, and I recall it very vividly, is that Steve was taken aback, but it was Fadi who was consulting with a number of people, including, it seemed, legal staff, and said he'd be back to me. I mean, we can go back to the transcript. Rather than me personally, Heidi, is it possible to do a staff-to-staff follow-up to see if anything can be forthcoming before I need to get personally involved?
I was going to suggest that is not Evan who should do the follow-up.
Yeah, Evan, this is Heidi for the record. Yes, I can do that.
I'm feeling uneasy about this, because that's, again, a staff thing, and the kind of answers we're getting at the moment are botched. I mean, we've got an explanation from Alan, which makes it sound like something was botched. And then during the session in ATRT2, no one was able to provide any kind of answer and so on. It's kind of the thing of everyone giving the hot potato to the person next to them. I'd rather see an actual statement come out. That's then to the record. That is then public. That is transparent. And we don't have some backroom deals going on about, oh, well, we messed up on that page, but please don't raise it.
Olivier, this is Evan. If I can make a suggestion then, going along with what you're just saying, maybe a very brief note from you, the chair of the ALAC, to Fadi, following up on the question that was asked from an ALAC member at the public forum and requesting formally for a follow-up to that he promised. Okay. I mean, I can do it. It might have more strength coming from you. If you want me to write the letter, I'm happy to do it. My goal right now is to get the answer rather than care about who asks it.
Okay, let's do that. Excellent. Thank you, Evan. And quickly on the joining of the Register and Rights Working Group and the joining of the Who Is Working Group, it looks as though there is no objection to this. Anyone objecting?
Hey,
no. So, yes, Evan, please go ahead.
Sorry. Because of the merged functions of this added to the compliance, I had also proposed that they be merged under the new name of Regulatory Issues Working Group, because it did incorporate a number of different issues like this. And this way, the new name would incorporate everything that's been done to date. I believe that name has already been discussed within the group.
Yes, thank you very much, Evan. So what I would suggest then is as follows. We've had a consensus call here. There is no objection to this proceeding forward. If you could please make that proposal, just send an email over to the ALAC, give it a couple more days, and then the new working group, which will be created out of those two merged working groups, will need to have some kind of charter or some kind of function that needs to be described exactly as to what that working group is for. It may be that you do cut and paste from the current working groups and put it into the new one, or it might be that you add some more pros since you want to add this. Then, of course, you need to choose what chairs that new working group needs to have, whether you want co-chairs with Carlton and Holly or something else. I see that both Holly and Carlton have put their hand up. So first Holly and then Carlton. Holly Reich, you have the floor.
Thanks very much. Look, I think the two of us, and perhaps with Evan's help, can come up with a general statement as to what is included. I think it also may make sense, because there was a cast of thousands that the membership is, once we formulated what it is that the group would cover, to go back to the people and say, do you still want to be part of this working group now that we actually have a particular working group with a new and updated process? Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Carlton?
This is Carlton, for the record. Thank you, Olivier. I'm endorsing what Holly says, but just to remind you that, Holly, that we actually had, with Evan's help, we actually had an outline of what the charter would be in the discussion. I need to go and find it, but we actually did have a discussion, and Evan's contribution there was to add the third part, the compliance part, in the discussion to ensure that we had that incorporated into the charter. So we can always go back. I would endorse us going back together and looking at it again and making sure we have it covered.
Thank you very much, both Holly and Carlton. And I see in the action items, Evan, to send the ALAC a draft proposal for the merging of the Who Is and Register and Rights and Responsibilities Working Group. And perhaps we could add that Evan should work with the current chairs of the two current working groups, with Holly and Carlton listed in this AI. Thank you. Evan Leibovich, you have
my
the final thing.
Actually, I think we can make this go a lot faster. I would like to propose a motion at this meeting that I move to combine the Registrant Rights and the Who Is Working Groups into a single working group, to rename it the Regulatory Issues Working Group, and to task Carlton, Holly, and myself with developing a charter and rules for the working group.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Evan. I guess we can proceed if we have quorum.
I just figure better to get this out of the way right now.
Staff, do we have quorum?
Olivia, this is Mac. I'm just double-checking right now.
Thank you. Any seconders in the meantime?
Seconded.
And who was that?
Carlton.
Thank you, Carlton. Seconded by Carlton. Furthered by Holly Reich, the chairs of the two working groups that are currently...
Olivier?
I see Rinalia also seconded it as well. Yes, who is this? Matash Chan, you have the floor.
May I please just ask that Evan restate the motion?
Okay, sorry, Matt. Okay, the motion is that the at-large Registrant Rights Working Group and the at-large Who Is Working Group are to be merged into a single working group to be named the Regulatory Issues Working Group, and that Carlton, Holly, and myself are jointly tasked with developing a charter and proposal for initial chairs for the group. I think that's close to what I originally said.
Yes. It works. That's fine.
Thank you very much, Evan. And so this is a motion, and I guess if we do have quorum, I'm just going to ask if there's anybody who is against this. Just do a consensus call, I guess, on the motion. Anyone against this, please put a red cross. And this is just the ALAC members voting, please. So members, current members of the ALAC who are against this motion, could you please just put a red cross next to your name using the pull-down menu? I don't see anyone. I only see some green ticks on there, so this is carried. Thank you very much. By consensus, well, by acclamation, I think we can call it, this is carried, Evan. So thank you very much. And the next thing is we look forward to having the charter for the new working group.
Sorry, just a point of order, Olivier, can you address those two action items since we've covered them both now in this motion?
Well, this is what we're looking at now. So let's instruct Matt. Unfortunately, I can't seem to scroll down the action item list for some reason. Now, this is not a formal vote. This was just a consensus call. And there was no-no's, effectively. No one against, so that just went through. Alan Greenberg?
Yeah, no, it's not on this subject, but if I could get in a moment, I realize we omitted something on a much earlier section that is very important.
Okay, Alan, thank you. Whilst whilst Matt is updating the action item, you have the floor, Alan.
Okay, I notice under Section 6C, it's on currently open public comments. It says not applicable. ALAC is considering developing, reviewing, or voting on all open PCs. I'm not quite sure what that means. It's not applicable, but we are considering. So there may be a typo in there. However, not that notwithstanding, your reference to putting up a red cross reminded me that there is now an open public comment period. I believe it is currently open on the IGO-INGO draft report, and I think a statement on that is going to be needed.
Thank you very much, Alan, for reminding us of this.
I don't know how it missed being listed, but I think that comment has opened just recently.
Me neither. Thank you very much, Alan. I think that will be something for Matt to follow up with. The IGO-INGO is not an actual public... Oh, it is there. That's right, draft initial report. Yeah, that is the latest one, and it wasn't in our list.
Oh,
but it is in there, Alan.
Oh,
yes, draft
sorry.
Final report on protection of IGO-INGO.
I'm blind.
You're confusing me now.
I don't remember discussing it in any case.
And you are confusing me.
Okay, then I am confused also.
The ALAC is considering drafting a statement, Alan, and perhaps we have jumped it, actually. I think that it was pretty much in your corner. To ask you whether there was going to be a public comment on this.
I think it's in my corner and Evans, and I think a statement is warranted. Sadly.
Okay. Thank you. So that would be
Olivia?
Matt Ashani, you have the floor.
I just want to confirm that that is correct. Evan was to confirm if a statement was necessary, and Alan was to support if it was necessary.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, I do.
That's on the IGO, INGO. We're starting to do two things in parallel here. We've done the IGO, INGO. Let's go back down now to this, to the end of this meeting, please. So we've got the motion, and you've scratched the follow-ups of Evan. No, you've completely taken this off. But now the working group has to create itself a charter. So Evan, Holly and Carlton to work together to get that adopted charter, please. Evan Leibovitz, you have the floor.
Okay. I don't know if it's worth mentioning at this point. There probably is a larger issue that we need to deal with that's come out of the Red Cross IOC thing, and that is the inability of working groups to say that there was a consensus against a recommendation. There's a real, real mess. A recommendation was put forward in a draft. The entire working group, with one exception, was against it, and yet it appears now in the draft report that there was divergence of opinion, which essentially allows the proponents of the recommendation to say, well, they couldn't make up their mind, so go ahead with it. The actual mechanics of the working group do not allow it to say there was a consensus against the recommendation. This is a real bad flaw. I think it's going to be part of what is mentioned in the report that Alan and I, that Alan is doing with my help. But there is perhaps a greater flaw in the process in that the scale of acceptance of recommendations is divergence to strongly agree. The process itself is incapable of actually saying that the working group was against the recommendation. This is a real bad flaw that came out in the development of this, and I don't know if this is something that we need to track, but it's certainly, to me, a really nasty flaw in the entire PDP process or the working group process. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I disagree with Evan. I do not believe it's a flaw in the working group process. I believe it's a bad call of the working group chair in this particular case. There is absolutely no reason that I am aware of why the recommendation, the wording of the recommendation could not have been reversed with a not put in or whatever, and then there being a large consensus but not unanimity of that statement. So I don't think it's a flaw in the process. I think it was just a bad call. And we have the right to appeal that to the GNSO should we wish, or can simply comment on it in the report.
Thank you, Alan. I'm closing the list after the queue after Carlton. Carlton Samuels, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Carlton for the record. I have to agree with Alan here. I don't think it was what happened is the very definition of capture. The consensus was against a position. The staff, in consultation with the chair, wrote a report that ignored that consensus position. That is what it was, and I totally agree with Alan that it wasn't a flaw in the PDP process, as it was more than a bad call, actually, with the chair. And that's what I think the report should be very careful to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And, of course, that discussion can follow on afterwards.
No,
offline.
Olivia, I insist
Alan,
on making a comment. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Alan.
Carlton just said something, and I can see immediately a comment from Renalia that it was collusion. It was a call of the chair. Staff on this process may well have advised the chair that that's the way the call should be. It's the chair's call, period. So, you know, we may have incompetent staff, we may have staff trying to push something. I'm not making any of those claims, but it's the chair's call. If the chair chooses to give responsibility to someone else, that's a chair issue. And I don't believe that happened. I believe this was a chair call, but nevertheless.
Thanks very much, Alan. We now have to move forward, and this discussion can be continued over on the wiki when that statement gets put together. I invite everyone to go to the working group updates, and we have 5 working group updates. There are quite a few, and they've all been patiently waiting, and I think we can have a couple of minutes to find out what's been happening in those working groups. So first, Sandra Hofreister for the ICANN, or the Academy Working Group, as it is. Where are we now?
Hello, hello, Olivier. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hello? Thank you. Sandra Hofreicher speaking. First of all, I have to apologize. I was not able so far to update my report at the wiki space for all of you to read it. Nevertheless, many of you might have realized that I provided an update on the progress of our working group on the ALAC internal list, and I consider most of the people in this call have read those update, and quite a lot of discussion took place also. I don't want to go into detail about the things which were discussed on the mailing list. We can discuss this further, but actually I consider it as more or less concluded, because the issues which have been raised were discussed, were explained, and I think there is a sort of a, well, let's not call it consensus, but at least I would call it agreement within ALAC. A lot of things have taken place since our last monthly call. A lot of things are in progress. This is a good thing on the one hand, because after the budget approval, we could finally develop the program and the criteria for trainers and participants to be sent out to the community. On the other hand, we faced the bad experience of being doing things in a rush. I mean, we had very limited time, and decisions had to be done in a very short time, on a very short notice. And at this point, I really like to thank Heidi. She is, or at least I have the feeling that she is dedicating at least one third of her work to the ICANN Academy at the moment. This is really a lot of work she's doing here. So finally, we will have the pilot leadership program taking place prior to the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. This will be twofold. There is a facilitation skills training, which was initiated and is organized by ICANN on the 13th and 14th of November. And immediately afterwards, with the same group of participants, we will continue with the leadership training program, which is in the full responsibility of the Academy Working Group. And this will take place on the 15th and the 16th. In between those two courses, which have to be seen as one course, we will have a bridging event, because we are aware that it's challenging for many people in the community to get off or to add another 4 days to an actual ICANN meeting. So we leave the opportunity for them to choose only to participate in the second part of the face-to-face meeting, but we recommend, of course, to participate all days, although knowing that it's challenging. So at the moment, participant confirmations are coming in. We have quite a good feedback from the GNSO. Already 7 members from the GNSO confirmed their participation. We have also 1 board member at the moment, is an incoming board member selected by the NOMCOM. His name is Bruno Lavin. He confirmed to participate. Participation from the CCNSO. We are in discussion with GAC. We are waiting for the SSAC to send in their participants. And we are still reaching out to the ASO and the RSSX to send in their participants. So overall, I would say the program is well received by the community, although it is hardly criticized that we are doing things on such a short notice. But I'm sorry, there was no other choice, because the budget was approved early mid-August only. And this was actually the point when we could sort out the details, and it was somehow the feeling of deciding between the worst and the worst. Because if we would have sent out the note earlier without detailed information behind, I guess we would have had the same discussion about what's going on, who should participate, and so on and so forth. The same amount of discussion than we are having now, complaining that, oh, I have made my travel arrangements already and I cannot confirm on board. The most important thing is now to look forward, because everything, I mean, we should be aware this is a pilot program, and it will have to go to a very serious review phase. And the results of this review will actually be, or will pave the way, or will not pave the way, to the next, or to make it not a, to make out of the pilot a very leadership training program. And this is actually the overall aim, to make it a regular thing, either during IGM or during another time of the year. This is subject to discussion during the review phase. And at this point, I also like to thank those members who were the most active in this working group, which are actually ALAC or at-large members, which is Tijani and Avrin, were contributing from the early days and until now, and they will be participating in this course as well. Avri as a participant, this was on the mailing list, and Tijani and me as an organizer or observer. And I think the both of, the three of us will be those who are driving the review phase afterwards. Thank you very much. I remain open for any questions here on this call or on the mailing list.
Thank you very much, Sandra. It's Olivia speaking. Unfortunately, we are running very late. We're already 2 hours into this call and haven't got very much time for questions. If people do have questions, of course, they're very welcome to email them over to you. And as we know, there have been some extensive discussion on the mailing lists about who is going, who is not going, when, how, what, or where. And I do know that there is also going to be some follow-up work, I guess. Are there any forthcoming conference calls before Buenos Aires?
I think this will be decided on a rather short notice. Yes, I'm speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Sorry.
Is someone speaking?
There was a bit of a delay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think we will decide this within the working group on a rather short notice. It might be useful to discuss the selection of trainers, or let's call them trainers anymore, rather session facilitators, because trainers will be taken out of the group of participants. If we cannot resolve that on the mailing list, we might schedule another call prior to the ICANN meeting. But knowing that we are all busy with the IGF and other stuff, this might be not realistic. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sandra. And we now have the next update, which is from the At-Large Summit number 2 Organizing Committee. And for this, we have Eduardo Diaz on the line. Eduardo, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Just a quick update. We are a little bit late on the survey, and in 4 hours we're going to have a meeting with the survey group. There is going to be an integration between a survey that the capacity building work group was putting together and ours, and the latest documents. It's in one of those links that I have put in there, and I just looked at it, and it's not long. It's a 2-page long type thing, and it's my expectation that today's meeting of the server group will somehow have a consensus of that document and get it done and out. The fact that we're late on this, we just have to move a couple of things up the timeline, and basically. Since once we receive the survey comments and analyze them,
and then the events group, which is head by Tijani, will, you know, define what the events are going to happen in the summit will be. And somehow during Buenos Aires or after Buenos Aires, we should, as a whole group, ratify by consensus, you know, if that's or those are the events that that we want to occur during the last two. Olivier, if you want to expand something that I have missed, please do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo, for this. I was just going to say that there is a call of the meetings, sorry, of the survey working group, the At-Large Summit Survey Working Group, in a couple of hours at 2000 UTC today. And I guess as soon as this goes, then we will have the survey. And then the whole process of moving forward with the preparation for the At-Large Summit will be rolling, at least we'll get it rolling. Just a confirmation that we have received the full amount that was required for the At-Large Summit. So we are basically set to roll. There will certainly be a lot of demand from At-Large structures and from everyone on this call as well to help for this. It's a really big, big event that will take place. I have also had a meeting with Sally Costerton, who is the Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement. She has put together a small team in London of the different people who are based in London and who are working on, who will be able to take an active part in the organization of not only the summit for our part of the work, but there is also the 50th ICANN meeting, which is taking place in London. So it's a double celebration, and it's going to be a big thing with a lot of involvement from media, etc. There will be certainly some more information coming soon. Sally Costerton and her staff have gone back and put together a list of things that were suggested. And as soon as I receive a copy of this, I will be forwarding it over to the ALAC list. That's a quick update on this. And then we also have the Capacity Building Working Group, Tijani Benjamin. If you could spend a couple of minutes, please. Tijani.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. The Capacity Building Working Group had a call a few weeks ago, and we decided on the tasks we have to undertake, and there are two different tasks. One is very urgent, which is preparing the ALSs for the summit, and we are concentrated now on this particular task, and the other one is the capacity building as a general task, and we have a program for it, but we will not look at it now. We are now working on preparing the ALSs for the summit. To do so, we need to have the survey, our survey. But when you look to our survey, it's very long. It's comprehensive. We need it. We need all those questions, but we don't need all of them for the summit. On the other hand, the Atlas working group decided that they will not merge with us the survey. So it was difficult to convince them, but finally we convinced them, and we will have a consolidated survey with very short part for our working group. And also a short survey for this Atlas with a common part at the beginning, which is the ALS details, etc. So now the main work we are working on is this survey. This afternoon, this night, we will have a call, and I hope we will have consensus at the end of this call, and the survey can go. And which is very important, because we have to decide which kind of capacity building the ALSs need for the summit. And and this, we cannot know that without having the survey the results. So this is, if you want, more or less our activities so far. It's finished. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And finally, we have the metrics working group with Cheryl Langdonora.
Thank you very much, Olivier. It's Cheryl for the transcript record. The monthly reports have been updated to reflect the most recent activities of this metrics working group. We've met on the 19th of September, and the meeting details are found in a link that I put in the report. Our next meeting will be in the first week of October, and then fortnightly until a Buenos Aires meeting. In Buenos Aires, we will be meeting. This is an open meeting, so any and all are welcome. On Sunday, the 17th of November, we'll be running from 8 a.m. till 9. Local time, and we will be meeting in the ALAC at large room, the details of which is to be confirmed. Other than that, I think that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And of course, all of our working groups are open to have new participants as well. So if anybody here is not currently on working groups, then these are four of the many working groups that we have that are open for you to join. Now, here's one that is not open to join because that's a meeting, an ICANN meeting strategy working group, agenda item number 11. That has five regions currently represented in it. And we just need a quick update as to what has been going on in this ICANN effort. I'm not sure whether it's Tijani or Eduardo who wish to provide us a 5 minutes or 2 minutes rundown.
This is Eduardo. I can say something and then Tijani can add if I'm missing.
Eduardo Diaz, you have the floor. Eduardo?
Go ahead, Eduardo.
We might have lost Eduardo, so maybe Tijani Benjamin, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. The meeting strategy working group is now at the stage of drafting its first draft report, and it is for to be presented to the board in their retreat. Next week or in the next days. We spend a lot of time on brainstorming. We did it during the calls, we did it in Durban, and we listened to all the chairs of the AC and the SO. So this is the information gathering. The CCNSO undertook a survey about this, and we had it. So we have a lot of inputs, and we started to put it together as a report. We have now a very draft preliminary report that Sébastien will try to submit to the board in the next days. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani, and I apologize to anyone if you do have questions on this. Of course, you may email Tijani and Eduardo on this, and then you'll be able to follow up after this. We are running out of time, and I'm very mindful that our interpreters have been working for more than an hour. For more than 2 hours, 2 hours and 11 minutes exactly. Let's move on very quickly to agenda item number 12 with Heidi Orish, who can take us through the one-minute travel of at-large meeting schedule for the 48th ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires. Heidi, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi, and I'm just putting the link into the chat. Currently, we have 23 meetings. The latest that has just been confirmed is the lunch between the ALAC executive and the NCSG. There is no clash with the GNSO Council, so we're up to 23 meetings. We're just waiting for confirmation tomorrow from meeting staff about any changes to the Monday afternoon schedule and what time the public forum is going to be moved to now on Thursday. It's going to be in the morning now. I'm hearing 8:30 to 1300, but we need to confirm that. So the wrap-up session will be Thursday afternoon. please, all working group chairs and RALO chairs, if you're on the call, meeting agendas are due today. The meeting confirmation process is open, and we're going to be submitting our forms, and we need agendas for those. So if we don't hear from you, we're just going to put in a very draft agenda. And finally, just over to Renalia and Alan, there's a question on whether the multi-stakeholder policy roundtable is going to be held. That has been held in Beijing and Durban, a very successful undertaking by At Large, but I think there's a question now on whether another ALAC member would like to lead that, the organization of that, and it could be even a 90-minute session rather than a two-hour session. So either Renali or Eduardo or Alan, if you'd like to just mention a few things on that issue. And Olivier, I'm finished with that, just an update.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Eduardo, Alan?
I'm sorry.
Alan Greenberg.
I just got
that was Renalia or Alan. I have no bandwidth to organize such a thing, and if it's held Monday, I will not be able to attend. So as interesting as such a thing could be, I cannot really contribute.
Thank you, Alan. Renalia Abdul-Rahim, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Renalia. Heidi, last week you told me we don't have the afternoon slot. Is that back again?
No, Renalia, that's what I don't know. It's tentatively on the agenda for 2 hours, but again, I'm waiting to hear whether there's going to be a blackout period Monday afternoon for an ACSO cross-community sort of event. So I'm just waiting to hear that. So if it is a 90-minute session, then there's a better chance that we can put it someplace else. At this point, it likely is going to conflict with some at-large meeting because it's just the schedule is just full.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I think that the SOAC meeting is quite important, and if it is going to happen, and I would prefer that the whole of ALAC were to attend that, because as long as I've been in the ALAC, I have not been able to attend any one of those, and I think there is value in that. If that afternoon slot is actually blocked for the SOAC, then anything that we organize in terms of a policy roundtable will conflict with other events. And in my experience, when we're trying to do that and it conflicts with other events, it is really very difficult to pull it off because sometimes we just don't get the speakers that we want. And it's not just the speakers from our own community, it's the speakers from the other communities that make it multi-stakeholder. And that is why there has not been any movement on this. So what would be good, Heidi, is if you can confirm after you find out whether or not the afternoon slot is blacked out or not. And if it is open, if the ALAC wants to have a policy roundtable, it is open, but I would not do it if it conflicts with other events.
Thank you very much, Renalia. I'm going to stop the discussion here because there clearly is some confusion at the moment as to how the Buenos Aires meeting is going to run, whether there's going to be a cross-SOAC discussion on the Monday afternoon, whether the Thursday is going to be moved around with the public forum being moved to the morning, et cetera, et cetera. This whole discussion taking place in parallel with, it appears, in parallel with the works of the meeting strategy working group, which I thought had also been brainstorming on this. So I think there's a bit of a confusion on that. And until we get more information as to what exactly is going to go on, it's really time lost on our side to try and prepare for things which will then be moved around. So let's just wait for another week and see what happens there. There is a consultation that's been sent out as to what we believe as a community should happen with regards to the meeting scheduling. And I think that this will be sent over to the ALAC list and the wiki be put together for this. We have a few weeks to provide an answer on that. But yes, as Alan did mention, if we have the Thursday meeting wrap up, then we need to have statements prepared before that, et cetera, et cetera. I'll refrain from saying any more, and let's move on to the next agenda item, number 13,
I believe, a discussion of the ICANN Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, and that's another one of these great, absolutely wonderful acronyms, CROP, replace one letter, and you get something equally as good. And at this moment in time, perhaps I should ask Heidi to take us through this new pilot program, which is going to hit us very soon.
Hi, Olivier, this is Heidi. Thank you. If you refresh your agenda, you will see the wiki page that the team who is organizing this from staff have created. So again, this is the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, so it's very much a pilot. It's only for fiscal year 14. What it basically allows is that each of the five RALOs get five regional trips within fiscal year 14. So this is, again, for regional outreach purposes. Just going to click on that to make sure everyone can see that. Matt, can you please put that into the Adobe Connect? So again, there are rules for this program, and you can read all about them on the wiki page. There's a process, the regional vice president for each of the regions, for each region where the request is being submitted, the regional vice president will have to accept that. And what's being planned, Olivia, correct me if I'm not getting this right, is that there's going to be a task force formed with regional members as well as some ALAC members. It's going to be part or a subgroup of the new outreach committee. Now, while the regions will have autonomy on choosing which requests they want to accept, there's going to be a review or a looking, making sure that the task force is going to be reviewing these requests and the decisions by the RALOs on to make sure that those requests that are approved work or are in sync with the at-large outreach proposal or strategies to make sure that they are working together. So I think that's just basically the core part of this new program.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Heidi, for this. At this moment, this is still a very early draft of what's going on, and this is a very early moment. This really was a program that was designed by staff in order to alleviate the amount of pressure that we keep on putting to send people to local IGF or local events and that we often ask funding for in our SO and AC additional funding requests, and which usually get refused. So on this occasion, it looks as though that it has pretty much given a green light for the RALOs in conjunction with the ALAC and with an organizing committee to be able to send people and send people over to these local events. I see Rinalia and Tijani have put their hand up. I don't know if, well, Rinalia, you have the floor. Old hand, okay. Tijani Benchema, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I would like to express my happiness, my satisfaction about what's happening in ICANN now. Especially regarding the capacity building and outreach issue. I am very happy to have this project, this pilot project. It is especially done for at-large and the non-contracted parties of the GNSO. So it is really targeted, and it is the proof that ICANN is listening to the community. I am very happy for that. It is not the only thing which was done for this particular issue. We have already ICANN Labs, which is a fantastic tool, a fantastic thing. I cannot express how much I am happy for it by this thing. It is a very good tool, a very good way for people to learn, to understand, to interact. It is fantastic. And also the online platform, which is also something that we was for long asking for,
and now it is there. We will use it for the ICANN Academy. Also, the ICANN Academy pilot project, which will be implemented in Buenos Aires. So, very, very happy for what is happening in ICANN regarding everything regarding learning and capacity building. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani, and I see your note being echoed by Cheryl and Demore as well, and it certainly shows the maturity that is slowly coming to the process of being able to finance the community and getting the community to decide on where it wants to go. There's going to be a lot more development taking place in this. We're still very early on, and there needs to be some finalizing of this. The Finance and Budget Subcommittee will no doubt be looking at this as well, and it will be informed since it has to do with financing as well. We haven't put together a working group or a committee that will be working this out. We're still early on, as I said. Hopefully in the next few weeks we can start getting ideas going, and certainly as soon as Heidi sent the announcement of this crop, and I hate to be using this acronym, but there you go, then we will be able to get the dialogue going into how we will organize this so as to make it fair and so as to make full utilization of this opportunity. We're going, well, we're really out of time now. We have two more agenda items, one being the update on the ATRT2 meeting. As you know, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg, and myself, we're Thursday and Friday in Washington, D.C., and worked on the ATRT2 works. The number of recommendations is growing. There's been a lot of work done into the reviewing of the Who Is RT. There's been also some work on the security and stability SSR review and resiliency review team, and there's also been some new recommendations that have been put together. Perhaps Alan Greenberg can provide a better summary than me at the moment, because I'm quite jet-lagged, and this is still very hazy. Alan, do you have a one-minute summary of what happened in D.C.?
I'm not sure I can. I can certainly report that we're working on a number of recommendations that I think will address real perceived problems in ICANN. We are not, as the first ATRT was pretty well forced to do, focus just on government and on the GAC and the board, although we are, for instance, putting a recommendation in that essentially will say the GAC must be far more open than it is. It should explain why it's making recommendations as opposed to just issuing utterances and be far more transparent and accountable, if I can use those words. We are also looking at a number of other issues, and I can't remember what they are, to be honest, at this point, that I think will strike some resonance with the ALAC. There's a lot of work going on. It's far from clear, but the contents of the draft report have to be in by the end of this weekend, so there's some furious action going on. Some of the recommendations will no doubt fall by the wayside just because the work doesn't get done. But we're optimistic at this point. I'm personally responsible for putting together the report on the Who Is review team's implementation. I think a very quick summary of that is that we are very disappointed, and I'm being told I can't use emotional words like that, in the long delay and in the difficulty in extracting information from ICANN, but the bottom line is a lot of things are progressing. To be honest, that's as much as I can extract out of my addled brain at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And for any of you who are interested in more information on this meeting, you've got the link which Heidi has put in the Adobe chat. And I've also just put a link now which goes over to the templates for assessment of implementation and for the new recommendations. These are, I think, all very much at a draft level at the moment, but if you do have some spare time and you're interested in seeing exactly where we are at now, this is, I think, the closest snapshot that one is able to have on this. There was one specific discussion which took place regarding the role of the treatment of recommendations and statements from SOs and ACs to go to be in line with the treatment of the recommendations and statements from the GAC advice. There was an interesting discussion that came out of this, that governments had a different place than any of the other SOs and ACs, and one couldn't dream of making all of the advice from all SOs and ACs the same level and the same strength as the GAC advice. And so consensus was found on something that was rather weaker, but effectively that the board would be answering any advice that it now receives and with its reasons for whatever action that it took on them. Alan Greenberg again?
Yeah, other than the wording not being parallel to that of the GAC, it's essentially equivalent to the first stages, but without the force to negotiate, if the board doesn't agree. And to be quite honest, I'm not quite sure we were at a stage where we really wanted to do that, although it would make us feel good that the board was required to. So I'm quite happy with the way it came out. And I guess I'm not as worried that the wording is not parallel to that of the GAC, but is going to be placed, at least in our draft discussions, in a very prominent place in the bylaws. So I think that's quite a change from the past history that we've experienced, and essentially would put into the bylaws the process that is now being used. And I think most people are quite happy about the visibility that the ALAC is getting at the board level.
Evan.
Some non-ALAC people aren't happy about it, but I think we're happy.
Thank you very much, Alan. And with this, we now have just one more minute for any other business. Item number 15 in our agenda. Heidi, you did mention earlier to me that you needed 30 seconds in any other business. Yes, I see your hand up. Go ahead, Heidi. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Just very quickly to let everyone know that this next week, September 30th through the 4th of October, all policy staff will be in Los Angeles for their annual workshop. So our responses to your emails will be relatively limited, and our time on any calls that are scheduled will be extremely limited. Just wanted to let you know about that. Thank you,
Libby. Thank you very much, Heidi. That's much appreciated. Any other business by any chance from anyone on this call? I see Rinalia Abdulrahim. Go ahead, Rinalia. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. It's actually a question for Heidi. In Durban, FADI announced the strategy committees that were going to be led by these famous people. And they were supposed to announce the chin for this committee, the strategy committee, in September. And September is almost over. So do you know what is happening there?
This is Heidi. Thank you for knowing. I don't know what the latest is. I know that they have been very much working on that. And FADI in particular has been spending some considerable time. I can follow up and get back to you on that.
Yeah,
thank you.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi, and thank you, Rinalia, for bringing this up. Any other business?
Olivia, just one more. You wanted me to announce that?
Go ahead, Heidi. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you. This is Heidi again. Just very happy news. All of you most likely will now know that Gisela did deliver a beautiful baby girl on the 3rd of September. And we've all been waiting very much for the name, and it's been announced, at least to us. So I know you're all waiting for it, so we're just going to announce it now since Gisela is spending very much for all of her time with her new beautiful daughter. The name is Eloise Gabriela. So again, it's Eloise Gabriela, a beautiful little girl who is thriving.
And congratulations. And now that we have a name, it means that we can officially enroll her as an at-large member. And this is absolutely great. And since she was born in Europe, she will be a member of Euralo. This is fantastic. Grow them and name them, and the moment they have names, they can be members. Thanks very much, Heidi, for this. Any other business from anyone? Rinalia, is that still a new hand, or? That's not a new hand. Okay, thank you. Well, with this, I do apologize for the length of the call. It has been 2.5 hours that we've been on there, but it has been, I think, a very good and very productive call. I thank our interpreters, Veronica and Sabrina, on the Spanish channel, Claire and Camilla on the French channel. They have been working extremely hard with the speed at which I speak, at least. And I thank, of course, our staff, Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, and Julia Charvonen. And I thank all of you for having lasted that long. And this call is now adjourned. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good day.
Goodbye, everybody.